on Fridays, catching your files on decrypting the bad one. I've got this bad mind to tangle, baby, this is fun. You think you're safe, I know you're not, I'm watching what you do. Pull up your task manager, there's nothing new to you. Kill the process, antivirus systems, I'll be wrecking. Command line's all I need for now, cause I'm pure decking.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Tuesday. It is not Monday, it is Tuesday. What the hell is today? The 7th. Tuesday, June the 7th.
Episode 19.
Episode 19, thank you very much. And I am completely discombobulated because I've been working on more projects than I know how to handle, plus craziness at work. So, and it's apparently just me and Heavy tonight, and Heavy is quite literally phoning it in.
Actually, we might actually have better results if I called into the Skype number. It'd probably work better.
I haven't set that up yet. So, is there a Mumble client for that? Maybe we ought to switch over to Mumble.
I've got Mumble. Huh. We could try that. I don't think we got any different results with Mumble, but we could try it later.
I think next show. I think it's more of a bandwidth issue than anything on your end. Heavy is actually calling us from a. Are you on a 4G or 3G?
3G connection.
3G connection.
No.
It was Android phone. So,
yeah.
Actually, you might get... I need to set up a call-in number. I really do. Just because you're right. It probably would be better. Of course, then we'd run your minutes down.
I don't have a problem with minutes. I have this plan where basically mobile to mobile, it doesn't cost me anything. And I'm pretty sure Skype counts as a mobile.
No, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't. But...
It doesn't cost me anything. I mean, I have hundreds of minutes that I don't use because I only ever talk to people on mobile phones.
Oh, I got you. Well, I'll look into that as a backup.
And without getting into the another discussion on mobile phones, we'll just say that's prevalent. People are getting rid of the landlines left and right.
Oh, I've never had a landline since I moved out from my parents. Well, I guess technically that's not true. I was on AT&T DSL for a long time, but I never actually got phone service through them, just internet. So I think I still technically had a phone number, but you couldn't call it. So
right.
But anyways,
all right, so
Heavy,
what were we going to talk about today?
Wow. Lag. We're going to discuss Skype. In the many ways, it's starting to suck. Actually, we could probably do pretty good on that. Just to starters here, I am currently drinking a Blue Moon Spring Blonde Wheat Ale. I picked this stuff up on a
nice.
It is really good. I like Blue Moons generally. I hadn't tried this, I guess, skew of it. And I'm probably going to be getting some more of these. So that is my tasty beverage of choice tonight. And we talked about it Thursday, the soundboard controller, the little specialty controller I built that RU ragged on me about for getting all excited. I was having fun. I was making my own electronics, right? And it's dead. It is well and truly. The Arduino, I pulled it apart to try to figure out what was going on, and I hooked the Arduino up to try to reload the program in case maybe the program had just gotten corrupt on the chip, and it gives an out-of-sync error. And the chip has some spots on it that I'm not sure. I've got to look at the other one because I've got several Arduinos now, and I've got another one of the exact same type, so I could desolder and swap it out and probably get the controller working again. But in truth, I was going to use that Arduino for something else, so I think I'm going to look at this as an opportunity to re-engineer my controllers.
So
I'm going to... we're just going to be sans soundboard for a little while unless I decide to rig up the iPad or something as a controller, which I can do. I was playing around with the software for doing that. But and I got it working. It's kind of a pain in the ass. But I did have that working, so I may look at using an iPad as a controller for a while until I get something new built. But so we're just going to be sans soundboard because I don't have a good controller for it, and trying to work something like that with the mouse just doesn't... You get that 2 or 3 seconds where you're mousing around trying to find it, and
Yeah.
You know, I say 2 or 3 seconds because you have to understand the monitor bank I'm sitting in front of.
Well, I was going to say you just hook it up to the F keys and make it work, you know, map it out that way.
Hey, we got a Suave. We're going to ambush Suave because I know he's going to want to be in on the conversation about Bitcoin later in the show.
Oh, yeah.
So
wonderful.
While I'm ambushing Suave, why don't you bitch about something?
Yeah, I'd like to bitch about, I don't know, people that are running mission-critical hardware in their particular area or business, and they've only got the 2 devices or 1 device that they actually use mission-critically, and then they've service contracted it out with 48-hour service call.
Suave, are you actually there? Suave?
Not yet.
Well, it's acting like he's answered, though.
Yeah.
There he is.
There he is.
Hi, Suave. We've ambushed you. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah. Can you hear me now?
Hi.
Heavy is currently phoning it in, so we're dealing with some lag on him. But that's okay. So.
Yeah.
Wait, Suave, are you still there?
Yep.
Yep, okay. Yep, we're doing pure decking, like, right fucking now. So.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I thought you'd want to be in on it. Because
yeah, no, I did. I just realized that Skype was actually turned off for some reason. Like, well, it wasn't even running.
I saw you online earlier, and I was like, oh, good. We'll have Heavy and we'll have Suave on for pure decking tonight, because I was going to do Bitcoin. I had a chance to look at it. And then it comes time for the show, and nobody's on. I was just like, fuck. Yeah.
No, Skype must have crashed on me or something, because, yeah, it was running.
Yeah, Skype crashed out on me, too, when I first started it up, you know, when I got home. I looked at it, and, you know, it said, had the Windows protection error on Skype, and I was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
So I think it's time we start looking at an alternative, because this is getting silly.
Oh, yeah. Good old Microsoft. Like, I wouldn't even think that they'd have time to do anything on it yet.
I'm not sure that they have. I think Skype is probably just under load or attack, or they've pissed off LulzSec or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, but let's see. Heavy, you were in the middle of a rant there. So you got people buying a mission-critical piece of hardware and then contracting it out, and believe me, I know your pain. Go ahead.
Well, the pain is this has happened to be a social service agency, and they do things like mail out, bills to, you know, for the clients that are, you know, whatever, disabled and or unable to handle their own money, and they literally have in this situation several hundred checks that need to get printed and mailed out, and these particular things have to be Micr quality printers, right? So the magnetic image character quality ink printers, and so.
Yeah,
you basically
checks.
Have
gotta
to
go out.
Yeah, and you basically, it's not so much that you're running a particular printer. Normally, you could just get any old laser jet and put the right cartridge in it, and it'll work. Most of them will. But my guess is they got sold a bill of goods by some specialty company that says, oh, you have to have this particular brand. And now they're screwed because they're contracted out for this. So it's like 3-4 days of this shit. You know, call up, is it fixed yet? No? What are your IT guys doing? Why don't you just put one of them in a car and drive them down to the city so they can pick one up and bring it back? Oh, no, we can't do that. Yeah, that kind of shit.
This is where you need to investigate into what are called service-level agreements. And this is just a note for anybody out there. When you're negotiating contracts with a vendor or a service provider, you need to get a quality-of-service-level agreement, and you need to get it in writing. That way, when they're in violation of it, you can say, okay, you've broken your contract, we're going to get this problem fixed, and we're going to do what we have to do. So anyways,
you got to cover your ass.
Oh yeah. So just some station news here. As I was explaining, Suave, the soundboard controller is well and truly broken.
Oh no!
I think the Arduino on it is burned out. So
that sucks.
I'm gonna mess with it and see if I can salvage the Arduino. But I'm gonna take this as an opportunity to re-engineer my controller. I've got an idea for what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna use one of the Tensys that I bought for doing the keyboard hacking.
Right.
And hook a couple of multiplexers up to it and just go insane with buttons.
That's awesome.
Make a big-ass controller and dip all the knobs. Like, I've got a whole whack of potentiometers from like an old mixer I ripped apart and a Korg Nano that's got halfway through the stage of being ripped apart and then left on a table. So I might finish ripping that apart. And I did pick up some of that Plasti-Dip or whatever it's called. It's the stuff you dip your pliers in, right? To
put
rubber on the handles. So I figure I'll dip all the pot controllers in that, and I may even pull some of the controllers off of the little Hercules controller I use for doing for controlling the music in the show, and do those because I want, if I like how the rubberized feels. So, anyways, though, there's that, and other news. I've been experimenting with taking the stream 24/7, and according to the encoder, I'm looking at it now. It has been running successfully for 32 hours straight.
Oh, excellent!
And it's streamed 0.6 gigs. Well, since the last time it crashed.
I've actually been jumping on a stream and off on a semi-regular basis to check it out and for stability, and I've actually jumped on once when it was down. But, no, it's pretty reliable, and as long as you keep an eyeball on it, you should be able to, do a remote restart or whatever. So
It's all just I haven't been as diligent with it. But also, too, right now, I have thrown a whole bunch of music at it. I found clearbits.net? Yeah, clearbits.net. If not, just Google clearbits. It's all Creative Commons BitTorrent. So totally legal, completely Creative Commons. And the very nice thing, everything I've pulled down so far has come with a nice little text file that explained what the licensing was. This is fantastic, because this means I know if I can use it or not.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So
and actually have that as an archive to say, okay, which thing did you bitch about? Okay, let's go and find the exact copy of the Creative Commons license that says I'm allowed to use this.
Yeah,
there's
like Chemical Brothers remixes and some remixes of like some of the Creative Commons Nine Inch Nails stuff in there. So I've got a piece of paper that says all this stuff was released Creative Commons. So. I've just kind of got it running in the stream. The stream is not very well programmed at the moment. Eventually, we're going to program it out. I do want to have a smooth jazz section for when you're in those death traps, and I also want to include. I want to sort it out a little bit better. Have like some dubstep and darkstep sections, and then techno, and then I'm not sure where tack falls, to be honest with you. His music. Of course, we've got to have that in there too. I mean.
Oh yeah,
I've been doing his release parties, or at least the streaming for it. For how long? We've got to have his music in there.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. Plus we use it on all the shows. Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know where his stuff ends up. That's the only problem. If we're going to try to sort it out by type, what I may do is, since I'm recruiting some of the IGN crew to help me run this thing, I may have you guys build playlists.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Anyways.
And I've been really working on that. I've been pulling out. The problem is I want to make sure everything has ID tags set up so that we don't get screwed that way.
Yeah, that is something I've noticed is not all music is equal in their tagging. And this last round of stuff I pulled down is pretty good, but a lot of the dubstep and darkstep I pulled down, it's all in the title. There's like no tags. And that really confuses the auto DJ on this because it goes by tags. So it was playing Black Sun Empire like over and over and over again because it was all tagged differently, even though it was all Black Sun Empire.
Mm.
And it was really funny because it was like every time I looked at the station, you could look through the history and see it had played other stuff. But every time I looked at it, it was playing Black Sun Empire and a remix of Endangered Species. I don't know why.
Well, must like it.
I mean, I guess.
We make the say server that if you appreciate that kind of music, we'll play it for you.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is I have been setting up more stuff for Galaxy 15, and I've got the email system up and going, so we're going to be working on that. I need to do an amazing amount of work on the webpage, because right now it's just a blog, and at best I need feedback. Sure. Currently playing, I'd like to put it in a Flash player. I've seen them before. But a few other things that the website has got to have. I've got to document the sources of all of the music.
Mm.
So we're just looking at an absolutely fantastic amount of time that's going to have to go into the website before we're ready to sit back and say, okay, that's done.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But, maybe we'll get about 4 hours, 5 hours of music on there, and it'll at least sound semi-random, over the course of 24 hours.
Oh, I've got a ton of music on there now. I pulled down a bunch off that Clear Bits, and that's been... playing, and also too, a lot of them are very like there's a couple of them that are like hour long mixes.
Oh, okay.
And that's the other reason why a lot of times I look at it, especially Black Sun Empire, that endangered species. A lot of those remixes are an hour long, and I've got a whole pack of them. Am I popping real bad? I'm hearing popping in my headphones.
No.
Just that one time.
And let me adjust my positioning here and try not to pop directly into the microphone. Oh, that's not the pill on this microphone is messed up, and I'm too cheap to replace it. So, anyways,
well, that happens. I mean, we're all running off.
It's all low budget, no budget. You know, scrounge what you can, right? So,
yeah, which is why we're giving the music away for free, and we're only using music that we're allowed to give away for free because that fits in our budget.
Well, not I like the concept. You know, I mean, you wouldn't think it if you knew my politics, but I really enjoy a lot of the Creative Commons and open source stuff. I think it's a good idea. I think when properly executed, it can be awesome. I don't much like some of the dogma and religious aspects of it that get dragged into the whole Creative Commons, open source, GNU, free software fund. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm a real do what you will, you know, don't hurt other people kind of a person. And to me, that's what it is. If you just, that's how you want to do it, you know, cool. Don't make other people have to do it, or don't, you know, make people want to follow this one particular way. Just make sure, you know, you're not stepping on anybody else's toes and you're good to go.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a lot more of that and a lot more of our society in general.
I'm going to go ahead and jump into the main topic we wanted to talk about tonight because, well, frankly, I think even with the break thrown in, this is probably going to take up the rest of the show. If it doesn't, right, we'll make up something because I have done almost no other research, and that would be Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin has been interesting in that I've been hearing about it for several months
and same here.
Have pretty much ignored it, to be honest.
I've been checking back on it a number of times. I first saw it, and it was worth about 5 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't remember what date that was, but, you know, a couple months later, then it was worth a dollar. It was right on par.
Yeah, the first time, I've heard about it, but the first time it really got my attention, I looked at it, and it was worth about a dollar to, you know, per coin. And so I looked into it a little bit, not a whole hell of a lot, and my first impression was this is yet another online currency. This is this is like the Linden dollar or World
Second
of Warcraft
Life
gold.
Is exactly what it reminded me of in the early stock market inflation or hyperinflation that they had inside Second Life. This really feels like that.
Yes, it does. And you know, we'll get into that.
Now,
but go ahead.
The one major difference from the Linden is that this is not something that's going to flood the market. Like, you know, with the Lindens, they just, you know, however much you wanted to put in, and you just bought that same price.
Yeah, they're doing a control of the currency.
This is a controlled release. So there's actually a very limited amount of Bitcoins out there right now. Well, and
not only that, but it's not controlled by a single individual company, and it's not tied to a single a single system. Like a lot of virtual currencies, they're tied to some sort of an online system, whether it's the Linden dollar being directly tied to Second Life. A lot of people are considering World of Warcraft gold as a viable alternative currency, and that, of course, is tied to World of Warcraft. So, and there's been several other attempts at online currencies and virtual currencies and just alternative currencies. Alternative currencies have always been the big rage whenever you want to get into the whole sovereign citizen anti-government movements. So, let's be clear, alternative currencies are legal. I checked this out. They are not actually illegal. However, there are a lot of laws that are set up to protect people when they're making deals in dollars.
Right.
And this goes generally for any country because I'm picking dollars because, well, I'm a fat, lazy American, and the rest of the world can, you know, bite me. So, but
Well, we are still, we still have, although it's been challenged, we still have the reserve currency of the world. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, our next president is probably going to be the last one to get to preside over that, too, the way things are going.
That's true.
Shit. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Anyways, you know, Suave, I know you've got the same thing with the Canadian dollar. You've got a lot of laws and protections that are set up to protect you when you are dealing in dollars, or the Canadian dollar, as your case may be.
Yeah.
That said, there is nothing to prevent you from using alternative currencies. However, if someone performs fraud and they're using the alternative currency versus dollars, you're on your own.
Yep.
You know, there's no guarantee. And, you know, and now let's be fair. Bitcoin, the guys who put together Bitcoin, they are upfront about this. There is nothing backing Bitcoin other than, well, I guess your trust in Bitcoins and what you value them at. And they're upfront about this. They don't, you know, their website doesn't bullshit yet. It's not like, oh, yes, this will be the, you know, it doesn't look like a pyramid scheme or anything, right?
Yeah.
So, from everything I've read, and we can go over generally what Bitcoins are because it's pretty heavy, so I don't want to actually go into the details because it's like, you know, it's like, let me put the tape on my glasses style math. It's like, let me get my pocket protectors and stick the hair up. Anyways, yeah, to really understand Bitcoin, you've got to have that good Albert Einstein fro on the go. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've really got to have math hair. But, you know, if you feel like investing in hair gel, then you can go in and read all that. Just go on the sites and read it. There's all the information's online, and the software is actually open source, so you can pull up the code and audit it if you are that concerned about it. And people doing financial transactions generally are. And now, Suave, I'm going to let you talk for a bit because I've had dental work done today and my jaw is hurting. So,
all right. Well, yeah, so I've been following Bitcoin here for the last little while. And there was a news article on, what website was that? I don't know. It was like Wired or
Gizmodo.
Gizmodo, yeah. One of those sites. They did a story on a website that you can find on the Onion Network where apparently you can buy drugs and all kinds of other crazy illegal stuff using Bitcoins. And when that story broke, everybody got all interested in Bitcoins again. And the price jumped and jumped and jumped. It started when the story first came out, they were worth like $5 on the dollar. As of right now, they're worth $22.57 per Bitcoin. So that's $22.57 per Bitcoin. That's a retarded spike. Yeah. Like, imagine if you had have like started off when it was 5 cents and you got like 10 Bitcoins even.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, the way Bitcoin works when you're mining for it, anytime you solve a block, you get 50 Bitcoins.
Yeah.
So at this point, that's like $100.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, a little more than that. But, and so mining for these things is actually viable. And I guess we should explain how it works a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoins are the actual, it's a file. Bitcoin is run on a peer, it's a system of currency and it's a peer-to-peer network. And that's another big difference to other virtual currencies is, it's going to be really hard to shut Bitcoin down. It's sort of like LimeWire. They killed the company. LimeWire is still going. The network.
Oh, yeah.
You know, BitTorrent, same thing. As long as the software clients are out there, you can't shut it down.
And the source code for the clients are out there because most of these projects are open source. So you can't.
So
unless you actually throw up a firewall across the entire internet and filter out everything.
I wouldn't put that past certain people. But my point is, though, that Bitcoins are – they're very well designed. The way they work is, you know, you run the client and you tell it you want to mine. And what that does is sits there and takes your computer and tries to solve these very difficult hashing blocks. And these things hash, and it's not just numbers, and it's not just trying to get the solution. You actually have to take a chunk of the previous Bitcoin transactions. They're all encoded in it. I mean, they're actually encoding a bunch of information about transactions in the files themselves, which is a way of preventing fraud. or at least, you know, somebody like duplicating the files and spending them over and over and over again. And their network has a bunch of protections in place to do that. Actually, you know, a lot of people are maintaining the Bitcoin databases and the transactional databases.
I'll give you the Adam Curry answer to this. It is basically it's eventually going to calculate the hyperdrive coordinates to Theta Prime and bring all the you know, the Satan back to just to throw that out there. No, it would be interesting that they're actually solving a real mathematical problem that they didn't tell anybody about.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're just running CPU time. That's the sad part about it. Unlike grabbing folding for home or something like that, they are just burning CPU time to burn CPU time. But it's proving that you did the work.
I started up the Bitcoin client just to kind of test it out and see how fast I could actually generate coins. Running a AMD Phenom X4 965 Black Edition.
It was a standard desktop computer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A gaming machine, but still.
Yeah. And just off that processor, I was getting maybe, 1,500 kilohashes a second. That's how they measure it. And then I ran a program that let it go through my graphics card, which is a Radeon 5770, and that brought it up to 150 megahashes per second.
Yeah.
So that was like a couple of orders of magnitude to the jump in processing time. And just with that one video card, I did the math, and in a month, I would have made about $120.
That's assuming you actually... See, it's a lottery, though. Yeah. It's who gets it first.
Well, that's on average. Pretty much, you're guaranteed to get something after about 3 months. 95% probability.
Yeah, but what's that do to your power bill?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, I
ran it overnight just to kind of see, and it basically maxed out that video card. And you could hear that fan just whirring away.
Well, it works your system at maximum. Most people, you know, especially your high-end gaming machines, you're not running that thing at full spec all the time. Modern computers do a lot of power saving, so it spins the fans down, it spins the disks down. When the cards aren't doing anything more than drawing your desktop or your screensaver, they go into a low power mode. And running something like that, I mean, you are just crunching. And there was a news story, I'm sure you found it, up in Canada. A guy had set up a Bitcoin farm. He was running a bunch of servers with GPUs in them to try to calculate Bitcoins. And because his power usage had spiked so much, he actually got his home raided by the local cops because they thought he was running a marijuana grow-op. Did you all not see that story?
No, I missed that one.
Suave talk. My jaw's hurting again. I'm going to find that link for you, though.
that's crazy. I have not heard that story. But, so guaranteed, that's why the price is spiking, though, just because that one article. And I'm thinking it's probably peaked. I could be totally wrong.
I think you're wrong on that, and we'll get into that in the second half of the show. Here's the link. But that said, now you were talking about the GPU aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You to really have a good chance at being profitable from Bitcoin, you have to be running a hell of a machine. And you need like quad video cards and shit to actually have a good chance at making money from that. And, you know, to compensate the power costs and all that other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And the author on the FAQ page is actually saying he's thinking about taking the whole CPU aspect out of the Bitcoin client because it's just so useless at this point since everybody's been doing the graphics cards.
Yeah.
And it gets even better. If you go to bitcoinminer.com, somebody has ported the GPU edition to JavaScript in HTML5.
Yep.
Also, one other thing that I saw, there's what are called miner pools that have popped up where basically... They've somehow worked it so everybody kind of works together on crunching numbers and everything. And basically for every block that's released by everybody in the group, that gets divvied up between everybody based on how much they've processed. So you get payouts a lot more often,
but they're not as much. But that would probably be the better way to go, because then you're at least getting something.
Yeah, because you know, like with that calculation for a month, $120, that was only like 20 bitcoins or something like that at the time.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and you don't even get anything until you actually unlock like 50, if you're lucky.
Right, and assuming nobody beats you to it. So now that we've gone over the basics of it a little bit, we're going to go into break because I'm going to need some Tylenol here, seriously, which is insane. And
whiskey?
Whiskey? I had drank all the whiskey. I lost my... Go back. I went looking for that link, and I lost my music folder. Son of a bitch. Okay. Our break music tonight is, I got it off that that Creative Commons BitTorrent site. It's some chiptune for you. A Final Date is the album, 8-Bit Dreamer. And this is track number 2, Goomba. And because, like I said, they're really good about documenting it on that site, we know this is Creative Commons and I know I can play it. So it is chiptune. If you don't like chiptune, deal with it. And I'm going to mute the call and hit play. Some chiptune every now and again. Get the call back here. Did that work? You guys back? Did that
work? Yep.
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. Alright, so...
So, you know, there are some criticisms to the whole Bitcoin thing.
Oh, I've got several, but it's not in the software itself. The software and the network itself is actually solid.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of things that can go wrong, though. Like, for example, right now, with the price spiking like this, you're going to see a lot of hoarding, where people are not going to really be encouraged to spend any of their coins right now because they're just going to be worth more later. So that's going to kind of screw over anybody trying to use Bitcoins as a business model or anything like that.
Well, and you know, I haven't seen terribly much in the way of Bitcoin usage. I mean, it's there, but there's not...
It's still very limited.
Oh, yeah. So that's a big problem, is that, you know, it's kind of hard to do much with them unless you're doing... unless you're finding somebody who's, like, doing, I guess, for hire work and willing, you know, is willing to accept them. That's not actually my problem with it, though, because I think what's going to happen with Bitcoin is it's going to be kind of an underground thing for a little while, and you know, and this is why I don't think it's a bad idea to maybe grab a couple of Bitcoin and hang on to them. I know they're kind of pricey right now, but I don't think they're going to come back down much. They probably will, but the thing I worry about with them is I think we're going to see a pump and dump, basically. It's not going to be a true pump and dump because those are artificial, but the moment CNN or Fox starts talking about the strange alternative currency on the internet, Bitcoin, it's going to skyrocket, and you're going to see the pump, and you're going to see the huge pump as, you know, everyone who's never heard of it before gets into it. And so that's when you want to dump, is, you know, when the thing hits, you know, $100 or $50 or so per Bitcoin because everybody's excited from the, you know, whatever, you know, local Fox affiliate covered it.
Right.
That's when you want to dump them out because you'll make some serious coin off of them. But and of course the other thing is, unlike things like the stock market, you know, it's an alternative currency. There are no rules really on what you can do with it. So I think you're going to see things like, you know, people trying to manipulate the value of the currency because, you know, I know you can't manipulate the number of Bitcoins out there, but you can certainly do the same trick the pump and dump guys do on the stocks of, you know, buy up a bunch of Bitcoins and, you know, then go start hyping the things to get everybody into them and drive the value up.
Right.
Exactly.
So I haven't picked up any yet, but I'm probably going to just to have, you know, a Bitcoin. I might pick up one.
Yeah.
I just want to have one, you know.
One other thing here is Bitcoins are going to drop out of the world pretty much and never be recoverable because they're stored as physical files. You know, you're going to end up having like people's hard drives crashing or losing data, or just people who are curious and generate some Bitcoins and then forget about it. Or even some people have already had some sort of weird glitch that ended up making them lose about $150,000 worth of Bitcoins. I wonder what the repercussions of that are going to be, where the actual supply is just going to dwindle.
You know, the rate we're still generating, I don't think that's going to be a problem for a little while. I do think, though, that you're going to see another source of them disappearing. And that's because it's this alternative currency and it's kind of off the grid. And it truly can't be used for let's be real. It truly does what it's supposed to do. It is an anonymous peer-to-peer currency system, and it does a good job of that. So you can launder money through it quite effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing – the other thing is if you're doing large transactions in Bitcoin, you know, the FCC reporting rules suddenly don't apply because it's not real money, according to the government. So, but what does Bitcoin do? It directly attacks what is the power base of governments and banks, which is your currency.
Yeah,
exactly.
So how long before, you know, not to go too off on a limb here, how long before we're going to start seeing it? They can't outlaw it directly because you can't outlaw alternative currencies because otherwise, you know, virtual worlds have a problem, and no, that's not going to happen.
It is traceable unless you're using some sort of like proxy or Tor network or something like that. Whoever you use coins with is going to be able to see your IP address, and they're going to be able to associate that with somebody.
But you can go through a proxy just like anything else on the internet.
You can, but you know, like look at what's going on today. Very few people actually do.
True.
And I doubt many people would do that with Bitcoins either.
It's not exactly a latency issue when you're making a Bitcoin transaction. I mean, you can be as slow as it needs to be to go through however many hops you need to get anonymity. And you know, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, if you're a drug kingpin and you need to launder a couple of $100 million, you're not going to do it by one dude. You're going to do it through a network of 100 people.
You're assuming the drug kingpin would do it like a traditional system. That if the drug kingpin knows what he's doing, he makes 20 separate Bitcoin accounts and does it all through himself. That way, he doesn't have to pay people. Just saying. The problem is not the system itself. It's just that the system, the stuff that's going to be around the system, is going to be rife for abuse. I truly believe that, and I also believe that it is eventually going to be equated with illegal activity because some people are going to get caught doing that. Now,
well, and it's going to get cracked too. I mean, we did a story on quantum computers. They're selling 128-bit, with 14-bit quantum
computers.
That was
on I Have Nothing, right? We did that story?
Yes.
That was on
I Have Nothing. But that's a real company, and that's actually getting real funding. So at some point, unless you do quantum encryption, I think this is a good prototype, a good testbed for a potentially secure system, and right now it is, but you got to get in the future, out those to 2015 or whenever they said they're going to actually hit, the peak. But I like it for now. I really do think that security is, the way they're doing it mathematically is cool, and I like it, and I think we should run with it, and I think we should get it in there and try to actually be real economies around it. Maybe even the radio station should take donations in Bitcoin.
Oh, I'll certainly take. Galaxy 15 will certainly take Bitcoins if somebody wants to give it to us. As far as donation goes, I haven't set it up yet, but we certainly will. If we get somebody who says, "Hey, we want to donate to the station, but all we've got is Bitcoin," we'll take them. I mean, it's I'll set that up. But the other thing is, the thing I worry about is that, like I was trying to get at, and I've been poking around the subject all night. Like I said, this directly attacks the power base of your traditional power brokers, which is the currency. This also can be used for illegal activity. And let's be real, people were laundering money through Second Life. I mean, they were doing it. They didn't get caught that much, but they were doing it. It's because at the time, nobody knows how to watch for this shit. But I think we're going to see an association of Bitcoins to illegal activity. For example, if you go walking down the street today in the United States and you have $4,000 cash on you, no drugs, no weapons, nothing else like that, but you look like the kind of guy who might be dealing drugs and you got that kind of cash on you and a cop pulls you over, they will arrest you for drug trafficking, for having cash, for having legal tender.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the only way you could have that kind of money is if you're dealing drugs, and that's the only reason you would deal in cash. And there's other things, too, but they have essentially outlawed carrying large amounts of cash. Now, let's be real. Carrying large amounts of cash around is kind of stupid. If you get mugged or somebody sees it, you're in trouble. But besides that fact, they've outlawed having a certain amount of their own currency if you don't put it in the bank.
Right.
Because if you get arrested with that kind of money on you or in your house or in your car, they're going to assume you did something illegal to get it. So I'm kind of worried that you're going to see the same precedent set with Bitcoin. Because, you have Bitcoins, you must be doing something illegal online. Are you one of those internet hacker kids we keep hearing about? I mean, so I understand you use the Metasploitins and the script kiddies to get into systems, yes? I can just see somebody trying to interrogate a hacker not knowing what the hell they're talking about. But that's a completely different conversation.
So I'm just going to cut in here for a sec. I was just looking up some stuff on Bitcoin, and I just noticed here there's a CBS piece on Bitcoins. Came out about 3 hours ago.
There's the run on them.
About 3 hours ago, the price was, about 4 hours ago, the price was about $19. and it most recently spiked up to $24, and yep. then it started to drop again. So there's your spike. Now I bet you that'll probably happen for any other subsequent networks that.
That's going to propagate through the news agencies now, and we're going to start seeing that start to fluctuate.
I think these things are going to get up to $50, $100 a coin, and then you're going to have somebody demanding that the government step in and investigate this, because clearly something illegal is going on. But that's I don't really trust the government. I'm not anti-government type. I think we do need a government, but I don't trust the current one. So they scare me a lot, and they take my money. But... Anyways, not to bring politics into it, but I see you dropped the link in there, and I'm kind of looking at it, and I think as that starts to propagate, you're going to see interest in it grow and grow and grow. And you also noticed it came back down to 23. It started at 19. Let's go completely screwball here. There is a precedent in a book we all like for alternative digital currency. Versus the American dollar.
Yeah.
That would be Demon, Daniel Suarez. Well, actually, I think it was in Freedom that he actually touched on this.
Yeah.
They had, in Freedom, they had established the dark. Spoilers! Read the fucking books, they're good. But in Freedom, they had established the dark net, and they had the dark net credit. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things he was doing at the in the final chapters was he kept listing out the cost of gas, the cost of food, and then how many, the value of the darknet credit to the American dollar.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of it, it was like several $100 to darknet credit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making the point that the old economy was falling away.
Right.
And given, the kind of flatness of the current one, I can see a pretty good parallel there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to understand that this happened throughout history. I mean, you remember the, in most colonial, and we can go back to Europe, but the one that's most common to folks recently, the U.S., we had 13 different currencies, and they ended up having to unite it under one currency so that everybody had, an even exchange rate or equivalency. Well, in this world, what's one labor hour worth of currency worth? I mean, it should be the same matter, where you're at. If you're in China, one labor hour should be worth one labor hour worth of currency.
I do not agree with you there. I really don't. I know what you're trying to say, and I agree with what you think you're saying, but what you're actually saying is 1 hour of labor should be worth the same no matter what, no matter where you are, right?
Yeah, if you're equivalent
work, that's what I wanted, because a doctor should not get paid the same as a garbage man. Not to insult garbage men out there, but I'm just saying. I just want you to be very clear on that, because I know what you think you're saying, and I know what you're actually saying. So,
garbage men get paid pretty damn good money. Just saying, they're making it into the high teens to $20 an hour, so they're doing okay. But I was gonna say, exactly. If you're doing equivalently trained or field. So if you're doing basically putting chips on, into iPads, then you basically should be getting paid the same wage regardless. And we need to come up with one universal currency that's valued the same all the way around, and then eventually that will help stabilize our economy. But that's the move that no country wants to give up, or any bank wants to give up, because then their manipulation of the economy will go away, and that's what this directly addresses. And I like it. I think hopefully we'll find something. If it's not Bitcoin, it'll be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing is, though, I don't foresee. I'm not sure how Bitcoin is going to get adopted as the global currency, and I worry about the concept of a global currency, because. If we do a global currency in the model of Bitcoin, distributed, peer-to-peer, no central governing authority, a limited amount of it, Bitcoin says there's going to be, so much in the system, and then that's it, and that's kind of help with inflation, which is cool, but, because, that's a problem we have. I'm trying to think how to phrase this, so I need to pick up the Harvard.
You're talking about scarcity.
Well, it's not just scarcity.
Some people just.
But okay. U.S. is doing quantitative easing right now. They're printing money and throwing it on the market and devaluing our dollar. With something like Bitcoin, you cannot do that. And that's cool. And having that concept of global currency is cool. What I worry about is if we do go to a global currency and it's controlled by, I don't know, the World Bank, what makes you think they're not going to control currency flows? And you know, that's the problem with a centrally controlled... well, it's just like networking, right? A centrally controlled system is not just potential for abuse. It's a single point of failure. Mm-hmm. You know, whether the failure is abuse or legitimate problem or some jackass with a bomb. I mean, and I'm not suggesting that, and anybody actually take a bomb into the World Bank. I'm just making a point. So don't blow anything up as you listen to our show. The last thing we want you to do is build explosives. We want you to build electronics. go ahead, Heavy.
Go ahead, Swallow.
Sorry. One thing I noticed here, they've got a Bitcoin top 100 rich list. And the third highest has got about 70,000. And then there's somebody who has 145,000, and then the next one after that has 297,000. And in a market right now, I think there's about 6 million coins out there. So
that's a pretty good distribution if the most of it only has, you know, at most 10,000.
No, 297,000.
Oh, I misheard you.
Yeah, that's...
It's not
million,
getting very evenly distributed then, is it?
That one person has 1/12 of the entire supply. Or wait, no.
I don't think it's
1/20th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
He must have a hell of a server farm. Now, this brings up another issue that I have with Bitcoin, and that's the issue of botnets. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think malware authors have figured this out yet, but when they do, you know, the more news stories we get, the more likely this is to happen. You know, all these fake AVs? What if instead of locking your system down and demanding you give them $129.95 and then you get your computer back, what if instead they, you know, got a little bit better about their code and just continued to pretend that they were, you know, some sort of needed security software, maybe posed as something that wouldn't be quite so obvious as a fake antivirus.
Yeah.
And just burned up your CPU time and your GPU time, for that matter, generating bitcoins for the botnet master.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been doing it for spam forever. Why not make bitcoins?
Yeah, I mean, that's direct easy currency, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a major issue.
You know, you're going to be what's the percentage for getting a block solved? You know, their percentage of income goes up quite a bit when they do that.
Oh yeah, because you're going to be able to really, really control. And you know, for people who do worry about distribution of wealth, I mean, it is money. You know, I the way I see it, if they're legitimately mining these things, well, they're earning them. But for those who do worry about even distribution of currency, you know, this favors people who can afford to spend regular money on computer hardwares or savvy enough to hack other people's systems to do it for them, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
That's right. I mean, could you imagine if this were to become a legitimate currency, Google would just sit there and crank up all their servers. You know, Amazon would just crank up all their servers and harvest themselves a bunch of cash.
Well,
digital.
You can spin up Amazon instances right now. There is nothing stopping you from sitting down right now and spinning up, you know, 100 Amazon cloud servers, or I think Ubuntu. There's
now,
a bunch of them.
You've got to check your terms and conditions, because I have heard of people getting in trouble for mining bitcoins on cloud services because it maxed out the CPUs.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know Amazon will bill you for CPU time.
Okay.
So at that point, you've got to do the math and figure out the trade-off. But with bitcoins being worth $22 American dollars per coin, if you're generating, let's see, you get 50 coins in a block, you know, I guess it just depends on how many you have to spin up to make it profitable. But you can do that right now. Especially if you go steal credit cards or some bullshit, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, don't steal credit cards. We're not advising that. Jeez.
Yeah, don't steal them. Do Google
Somebody's probably using
them.
My card that was on the PlayStation Network as we speak.
Oh no!
I told you when they first came out. Got to get rid of that damn thing and break it. You know, kill it. But
speaking of PlayStation Network, LulzSec hacked them again and actually released the source code to the PlayStation Developer Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say I have a copy, but I will say it's interesting reading.
Yeah.
It's on MediaFire, for God's sake.
They got that.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
You know, I wonder if that's what WoW uses.
What, Sony? No.
No, or was it SecurePass? Yeah. Sony doesn't do SecurePass, do they?
Not that I'm aware of. No, that's the two-factor system, right? That Battle.net uses?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they don't. As far as I know, PlayStation doesn't. No.
Yeah. So SecurePath finally just said, you know, the whole system's broken and we just have to rebuild it from the ground up. And I'm like, damn, you guys are really getting hacked. So.
Well, you know, we're probably going to see another good 5 years of companies not figuring out that they might want to look into their whole digital security footprint. So, oh well, yeah. Job security for me, right?
Well, I was going to say, you know, anytime anybody sticks their head up, they're asking for it. You know, if you keep your head down and you do work diligently at it, you'll be all right. But anytime you think you've got it licked and then you say, oh, yeah, we're pretty damn good. We're awesome. And you're going to get owned.
Well, the problem with that is companies, you know, when you spend a shit ton of money on a secure setup and, you know, put all the time and effort into it, you're going to want to brag about it a little bit. But in the end, you're never going to get a completely secure network, but what you can do is you can monitor, you can build normal usage profiles, and you can, when you see a system acting up, you can respond quickly. A good example of that is about, a month and a half ago, maybe it was 2 months ago now, LastPass had something weird going on in their network. They didn't even know what it was. They just decided, okay, that's a problem. Everybody change your password. You know, and that's... Honestly, yeah. It sounds crazy, and it sounds like it would be very disruptive to business, but that kind of paranoia really is the right answer. Right. It's annoying as hell for your users, but it's unfortunately the right answer. So
and it is, and we've had a couple of companies, you know, actually sit there and be, you know, legitimately good about letting their customers know what's going on and say, hey, I fucked up, or we fucked up, or this is a security vulnerability that we had. You guys need to do this, and this.
Well, there's a right way and a wrong way to respond, right? The right way is to come out and say, this happened, here's what may have been leaked, you know, we found the problem, we're sorry. You know, because it's going to happen, and especially more often now that, you know, it's starting to get into the news a little bit more. And, you know, here in a few more years, you get some of the people who are hearing about it now because, you know, in the early 90s, hacking was cool. That was the thing. They had the movie Hackers, which was retarded, but that's not the point. And, you know, the much better sneakers. And, you know, you even had the Matrix films there at the end of it. And, you know, oh, hacking's cool. And, you know, then they turned hackers into the bad guys of everything. So, you know, for a long time, nobody was really interested in it. Now it's starting to get cool again, thanks to Anonymous and LulzSec and, you know, nobody really getting mad at them for what they're doing to Sony.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're coming out as the big heroes in this, and everybody's they're kind of laughing at everybody. So I think you're going to see another cultural shift, and you're going to start seeing more people interested in it again. So we're about at an hour here. So unless anybody's got anything else they want to say, I'm going to close it up.
That's about it.
Just one last word to the folks that are big fans of Macintosh computers. Lock your system down. Get yourself some decent antivirus. Start running, and if you know anybody that has Mac systems, go out there and help them secure their systems, because the days of saying obscurity by obscurity, that's not the case anymore, guys. You are now a maturity vulnerable target.
But Macs don't get viruses. Uh-huh. Oh, it wouldn't be a pure decking if we didn't rip on Macs at least once, right? So... All right, yeah, Mac Defender. You know, Apple pushed out a big patch to try to take care of Mac Defender, and Mac Defender's already gotten around it and doesn't need your password.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Guess what, guys? You get them too. Don't click on shit. Or if you're gonna click on shit, run a VM or a live CD or learn what the fuck not to click on.
Yeah.
Run NoScript, for God's sake. Enough of that. So I'm going to play the closing music, and this is terribly appropriate. Patient Zero's Doom Money. What album was this from? Adversary. So, yeah. Mute the call and hit play.
Teach those who need to be taught. answer it now.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.